Thank you for calling. I spoke with Father. He asked me again to extend his love to all of you, and I give you my peace. There are a number of things I would like to share with you today, and then I'm going to hand everything over to Brilliant. She actually gave me an energy healing last week that lasted close to 2 hours.
Yes.
And Father said that I would like Brilliant to share with the team everything that she saw in the healing, because it has an impact on everybody for the future. So the first thing I want to talk about is, has everybody had a chance to find their armor and to put it on? And you may find that some of you have chainmail-looking armor, and others may have solid armor that's colored. It doesn't matter really how thick your armor is at this point, but based on the thickness of your armor would be determined by how much evil you're exposed to right now. So that might be why you just have chainmail. You do have a sword. You do have a shield. Your shield is on your back if you're looking for it. Some couldn't find it. You also have a dagger, and that should be in your belt. I also wanted to point out the fact that because I'm sending you in Father's name, that you have the ability to give other people peace. Okay? It's as simple as fogging them or even thinking to yourself, I give you peace. And that person should feel some different change in them. I am going to bring this up simply because you represent our Heavenly Father, and you represent myself as well. I'm going to ask everyone if you could please make a conscious effort to stop swearing. Okay? Because we all at times, in little conversations that we have, use colorful metaphors to express ourselves. Father had asked me a long time ago to not use that kind of language because it is not his language. So I'm going to ask everyone else, please be mindful of your language when you're talking. Someone have something to say? What's that?
Me, Siri. I got off.
You got off? Okay. I need to point out that Satan is going to come after you more than normal, and that you have the ability to fog him, which we talked about last month. But I also need you to understand that he does have a certain power, and you need to respect him on some level. Okay? But you do not have to put up with his crap. Just be mindful that he does have the ability to influence us. That's why I wrote that letter about puppets. Be mindful of your thoughts. I need you to test whatever it is that's in front of you at all times. Wait, is that really our Heavenly Father? Is that Satan? And I would tell you that anything positive that comes to your mind, that certainly is from our Heavenly Father. Anything negative that tears down or creates separation, that is from Him. I know that a number of you you use the term assignment when you have to go help somebody. This is not a scolding. I find that word almost like you have to do something. I would rather you use the word charge. They're my charge. I need to take care of them. I need to help them. It's up to you. I would rather not use the word assignment. Okay? I am writing a book, my second book, and I said to Kira, I'm writing my second book, and she said, you're writing a sex book. And I said, no, I'm writing a sex book. And she goes, is that why you have all these women on your team, Jim? I said, well, yeah. But anyway, I'm writing
a chapter. Write a chapter.
And I talked with Father, and he said he would like all of you, I'm going to give you a year to do this, but he would like you to write your story of how our Heavenly Father has changed his life and how you've come to become the person that you are, and I'm going to take your book that you write, or the part that is your life, and I'm going to create a chapter in my book. And just like it was in the Bible where the apostles had their own experience, you're going to have the same thing. So I give you a year. So May 1st of 2014, by that time, I need you to give me what you've written. And then I will add it to my book, and we'll meld it all together. Father said that I can't actually publish my book until I'm formally announced in the church, because I'm going to be completely honest in my book, as I was the first one, with what took place. I'm going to declare who I am. And he said, until I announce you, you cannot print your book. And I said, good, that gives us all time. So I want to bring that to your attention.
Can I have some help from the Holy Spirit to write?
Dan, just ask him to show up. He'll lend you a hand. He's been working with me. He's helped me remember things that happened 6 years ago. He was picking this thing up. So, yes, he can help you.
I don't want my chapter next to Lori's, because Lori's is going to be fabulous and colorful.
I don't know. I can't attest to where my writing has gone in the last year. So
I think you'll all be fine. My plan is that as I came into your life in my own story, then I will expound a little bit on what he shared, and then the next chapter will be completely about you, and I'm going to use Steeler name as that. So I'll change your real name, but I'm going to use your healer name, in the book when I refer to you. And that'll be the name of your chapter.
My chapter about me is going to be really long. It's 44 years, man.
Okay. I'm not going to go back that far.
Oh, okay.
Where all of this stuff changed in your... Where I approached you to be a healer, that point forward. When, you know, all the craziness started. Okay. Somebody need to mute their phone because there's a lot of feedback coming through. All right, I'm going to turn this conference call over to Brilliant now. I haven't had a healing, I think, in about a year, and then Brilliant was kind enough to come to my place last Friday. She gave me a healing for 2 hours, and a lot of things were revealed through the healing. So I'm going to ask her to take over now. So, Brilliant, go for it.
Okay, no pressure. It's always very interesting when a supplanter asks you to give them a healing, especially since, unlike several other people, this was my 12th healing that I've ever given. Lori, that even includes the healings that we gave each other during training. So, didn't have a lot of expectation, but I'd be remiss if I didn't share with what, you know, the events leading up to it. The night before the healing, the scheduled healing was for the next day, and as I was going to sleep and I was praying that God would provide and everything would go well, my team, who I don't have the gift of sight like others do on the team, but that night my team said, okay, well, have a good night and we'll see you later. And that was a bit confusing to me because, one, I don't normally hear them like that, and two, where were they going? And they gently shared with me that they were going to prepare for tomorrow's healing and they were going to spend some time with Supplanter. So that started a very interesting evening, which rolled into the next morning. We planned on meeting at 10 o'clock, and so when I got into the car, I was saying prayers again and preparing for what was about to happen, and all of a sudden, I felt like I was very crowded in my car, which, again, is very strange since I drive an SUV-type vehicle, and I'm relatively small. So I looked around, and I'm like, what's going on here? And even though I couldn't see anything or anyone in my car, that feeling that you get when you're in a crowded room or in a place of high energy was carried with me all the way until I got to Jim's complex parking lot. And as I was making the turn into where his condo is, all of it left me. And I could feel it pull towards this presence of many, many people. I could feel it pull into his condo. And so then went inside, and Supplanter and I talked for several hours. Another interesting thing is while we were talking, again, I don't see my team often. I did see my team raking what looked like garbage or dirty water and soot and sewage and stuff out of the planter's face. And I mentioned that to him when we were talking. He was like, yep, I was told that we need to talk before, you know, we do the healing. Oh, another interesting thing I forgot to mention was when I was in the shower getting ready for my day, I actually started hearing a voice start telling me some of the things that were going to happen during the healing, what I should say to the planter, and, of course, being afraid that Satan is trying to fool me at all times, I had told this voice, stop. I'm not going to listen to you. What's going to happen is going to happen. What God provides is going to be provided at that moment. And
hold on. Can everybody hear her okay? Because I think your mouthpiece moved, Heidi.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's better.
So, sorry. So when I was in the shower, I was saying that I was getting this information, if you will, about what was going to happen and what I should say to Supplanter, and I stopped the voice because, of course, always being on guard that it's Satan or one of his demons or spirits trying to influence me, I had resolved myself to what I told the thing that was talking to me. I really don't care what you have to say because God will provide in the moment. I don't want to serve yucky old moldy manna, so please be quiet. I only mention that because I found out later from Firelight and Supplanter that, and maybe you guys have already experienced this, that oftentimes before we're getting ready to do a healing, that we will have, what do you call them, Supplanter?
Counseling angel.
Thank you. A counseling angel come and start telling us what's going to happen, where that person is, some things to look out for. And, of course, this being my 12th healing ever, that was very strange to me. So I had to apologize to the counseling angel who was standing in Jim's kitchen, saying, sorry, that was me. And the planter was like, well, maybe next time you could introduce yourself before talking to somebody who's never talked to you before. And I was comforted. Go ahead.
Sarasota is his name, and he's all business. Go ahead.
And that's why it was very weird to me, because it was like I don't say a laundry list, but going point by point about what's going to happen and what's going on, and that was very strange to me as well. Never had that. And again, Firelight explained to me that that happens to her a lot in healing, so I'm putting that out there in case it happens to anyone else. There was nothing negative, so I should have known that it wasn't evil, but it was just, again, a very weird situation. So after Supplanter and I talked for several hours about everything and nothing, we started the healing, and we prayed first. And from the very beginning, everything kind of seems normal while working on, you know, after grounding the aura, regrounding Supplanter, and fixing the aura, if you will. The aura kind of looks like a ratty old quilt, where it was all patched together and some of the seams were loose and some of the pieces were coming apart. So that was all fixed. But then as soon as we started running energy in the lower channels, holy cow, everything changed. And again, for me, not being as experienced as some other people as far as number of healings, this was probably a life-changing spiritual event for me. Because as I tell you about it, I made notes on it. As I tell you about it, I'm actually experiencing it again. So you have to, I'm going to apologize ahead of time if I get, if my emotions get the best of me. So starting in the lower channels, and we're just running energy, all of eternity shows up. And all of us show up. All of our spirits show up with our teams. And all of the angels, the patriarchs from the Bible, and like people and beings that I don't even know, in robes, family members in eternity, I mean, everyone. And it was a very weird experience for me because, again, we're confined in one sense to Jim and John's condo, but in another sense, this overwhelming crowd was there. It was miles out. And I could see and feel them. And I could feel their reverence. And I could feel their excitement. I could feel their cheerleading. When we got to the upper channels, if that wasn't powerful and moving enough, I should say in the lower channels where everyone on this team were there, everyone recommitted in their spirit to fighting this fight, to standing by Supplanter's side, and living this part of God's dream. So that was an extremely humbling experience for me. Then went to upper channels, and as we're there, all of a sudden there's like trumpet going off, sounding off, and all of these horses came in, big, huge white horses, and as they were filing in, almost like a parade, but more of a presentation Supplanter, it was a light brigade. And I can't even describe the number of angels that were there. They were ginormous. They were beautiful. They were all in white, and they presented themselves to Supplanter. All of the archangels showed up. And every one of them bowed before Supplanter, and they renewed the gift that they had apparently given to Supplanter in a different meeting. And they swore their allegiance to him and swore that they would, you know, support, guide, and help out in every way that they could, recommitting a recommitment of service and encouragement. After these two presentations, a bunch of female beings came up and presented themselves, and after waiting for them to get in front of Supplanter, it was the group of healing angels, if you will. The lead healing angel's name is Giselle, and not only was it humbling to hear how she's working with this team, and how any time that any of us call on a healing angel, that she sends one of them. She personally committed this team to not only Supplanter, but to helping each and every one of us. And reminding us that we're not alone on this journey, even though we can't see or feel certain things at the time. So then it was time to move into the first chakra. So again, this is just running energy. In the first chakra, all of a sudden, there were these group of beings that were holding tablets, if you will, little books. And there were 12 of them, and they were very business-like, and I couldn't understand right away who they were. But they introduced themselves as the record keepers in a very non-objective, record-keeping, observation-type way. These 12 recorders, or record keepers, again, presented and bowed down to Supplanter and explained that they are keeping record of everything that has been, everything that is, and everything that will be. And they offered Supplanter that whenever he's ready to spend time with them, that they could reconcile their information that they have in their records with the scrolls that have been placed in his heart about God's plan and the future. The second chakra was the only chakra, ironically, that there wasn't a presentation of sorts, and I see why God did this. It was probably a break for me because this was very emotional and very overwhelming. I know that words couldn't possibly describe what the experience at this point was. In the second chakra, my team got there, and there were these big, huge four walls. And my team told me that this is where an enormous amount of emotion and turmoil and pain has been walled off by Supplanter. And we had to ask him for permission to take down the walls. And we were given, Supplanter gave us permission to tear down the walls. And as they just started blowing holes in the walls and as the emotion was escaping, it was revealed to me that this emotion, in a lot of ways, Supplanter used to think that this was his cross to bear, that this emotion about life, the emotion that he has for the woman of his dreams, the emotions that he carries in concern for us, in concern for the future, in concern for God's children, every single emotion that he goes through, that in some sense he was hanging on to this because it made it more real for him. And it connected to him to his big brother, Jesus, in a lot of ways because, you know, Jesus had to suffer very much. And in some way, this connected him with his big brother. And it was told to him that this is not how he and Jesus connect. This is not the cross for him to bury, to carry, and to let it all go. And so everything, all the walls came down, all the emotion was gone. We were both bawling, like bawling, not even crying, bawling. After the release of the emotions, this is one of the two most. I mean, you think that the things that we've already talked about were unbelievably impressive and life changing, but I can tell you right now that this next chakra was probably the hardest for me. You get into the third chakra, and I hear a drum roll. This amazing drum roll, this majestic drum roll. And after having met all of the groups that we'd already met, I couldn't possibly imagine who gets this kind of drum roll. Within seconds upon this next group entering the place that we were at, my energy changed. And at first, I thought it was something evil because I had never felt this kind of energy before. It wasn't evil. It was the Wrath Brigade. And I hope I do this justice when I try and explain to you who the Wrath Brigade is. Trillian is the leader of the Wrath Brigade. These beings were very tall, very powerful, not black, dark, not in the color black, but just did not carry the happy, light, wonderful colors that you imagine when beings are being perfected. And the Wrath Brigade is the brigade of angels that were designed and mentioned in Revelations. They were completely designed and created for one singular purpose. They were developed and created out of God's wrath. And these are the angels that are described in Revelation. There are actually 12 of them, and when they came in a diamond formation. And I'm very thankful for that because I could only really sense the point angel and the two sides. And I don't think I can handle more than that because Trillian came up to Supplanter and said, "You will not interfere on that day." Jessica and my team ran off like a bunch of little girls and hid in the corner cowering as this being spoke to Supplanter about him not interfering. And as I stood there and listened to this and heard this, I realized that this was not evil that was standing there. These angels that were created for one purpose, they're devoid of emotion. They're completely devoid of emotion. And I understand why they had to be completely devoid of emotion. It's because they couldn't be able to complete their purpose. Because their purpose is to wreak havoc upon this earth and those souls at that time. And her message for Supplanter was that he will not interfere. And in that moment, I saw, and Jim saw, Supplanter standing on the edge of heaven on that day that the Wrath Brigade is let loose. And he's having to be held back by teammates because of the agony that he feels and we all feel watching these 12 angels who are developed for one reason and one reason only, wreak havoc and fill out their purpose. And I think for me personally, the reason that they felt like evil at first and then I realized they weren't evil was because they didn't carry any light, any emotion, any love, any happiness. Even the most evilest, even Satan himself, he knows what love looks like. He loves himself and he loves his plan. He knows what mercy looks like. He'll be merciful. Even Satan will be merciful if it will somehow benefit him. These beings were devoid of any love, any light, any compassion, any understanding, even the cruelest human being that you can ever imagine. Somewhere in there, even if they're self-serving, those emotions exist. And I can honestly tell you guys that after meeting the RAF Brigade, led by Trailian, that it makes me want to work even harder. So I find any person on this earth that would be willing to listen, to share God's light and love with, because no human being, no matter what they did on this earth, I don't care what their crimes are, deserve to meet the RAF Brigade.
Can I have a minute?
Yes, please.
I want to point out the fact that Father was sitting across from us the entire time, and he made the point that I created these angels completely out of my righteousness. He said they are devoid of emotion because they cannot not do what I designed them for. And he said once they are finished carrying out my wrath, they will cease to exist. Four of them are currently holding back the winds of destruction, and the other ones are the ones that will bring plague and destroy the planet. And even Heidi and I had discussed that we have never felt a being with such determination and focus to do what they were designed for until we met these guys. Okay.
No, that's true. I will say I learned two things from meeting the RAF Brigade. One, there isn't one human being. I want to work even harder than ever in whatever capacity God will allow me, in whatever capacity I was intended, to complete my part of the plan, to heal and help and serve any human being I come across. And the second was, as Sublander alluded to, I now have a new bar of what it feels like to be so determined, so laser-focused, nothing getting in the way of the plan and the purpose and the commission that I've been given. So many times emotions or life or situations or whatever can get in the way of what we're intended to do, and I can tell you with complete surety there wasn't 1 ounce of hesitation, there wasn't 1 ounce of confusion, there wasn't 1 ounce of misunderstanding. They know what they're doing, they know what they're created to do, and they are unbridledly standing there. If it wasn't for God himself holding them, they would be doing it. I think the other reason my team was so afraid is because I've never seen anyone address Uplancher like that. And it wasn't in the way that he addressed Uplancher, he being Trailian. At first, you're just shocked because it seems so disrespectful. But once you feel and understand what these beings are created, he couldn't have talked to Uplancher in a more kind, generous way because he's immune. He doesn't even understand. This RAF Brigade doesn't understand, comprehend, or even know what emotions are. And again, that I think was the scariest thing for me, is knowing that when they're let loose and asked to complete what they had been created to do, they're immune to any emotion, any crying, any pleading, anything. So after the third chakra, we went to the heart chakra, and I'm very thankful for this next one because this next introduction also in a very loving way changed the way that I looked at many things. We got to the fourth chakra, and a man walked up to Uplancher, and as he bowed down to pay his respects, a woman came out from behind him that I didn't even notice in the beginning. And after she bowed down and paid her respects, she put a wreath on Uplancher's neck. I still couldn't figure out who they were until they introduced themselves as Adam and Eve. And there were two major things, two different reasons why Adam and Eve needed to present themselves to Uplancher. The first was they wanted to thank Uplancher for changing their life. Apparently, a while back, Uplancher had a conversation with Adam and Eve about the whole situation, and before Uplancher talked to or prayed about Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve said it sucked to be Adam and Eve, even in eternity, that they used to hide themselves in eternity because they were Adam and Eve. Stupid Eve, naive Eve, who bit an apple after a snake just popped up, and then she greedily and eagerly handed that apple over to her husband to bite. They explained during this whole process a couple of things. Number one, that what human beings think the Garden of Eden was and how creation looked is wrong. Because in the Bible, in Genesis, it's just a few chapters describing Adam and Eve, but the reality is that time did not begin until Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And Adam spent, well, I'll say the first thing. So, with Adam and Eve being in the garden, it's not that that snake just popped up one day and said, are you sure that's what God said? This snake, Satan, had worked on Adam and Eve for thousands, if not millions of years. Because how foolish would someone be if a strange animal or strange person just came up and said, are you sure that's what you heard? Come on, don't listen to that. It wasn't like that at all. This snake, Satan, had befriended them, had been an animal in the garden with them. They had talked many times, and he befriended them. Over millions of years, he had gained their trust. And Eve was somewhat offended that for thousands of years, millions of years, you know, when you think back, that time didn't begin in the garden, that so many human beings just think that she was a stupid little girl where a snake popped up that she'd never seen before, and she took a bite. The reality is that human beings today are bamboozled by Satan in so many different ways that are even less phenomenal than a snake coming up to you and trying to coerce you into being disobedient. This changed even in my heart because as they were telling the story, they told Suplanter and I how until Suplanter prayed for them and talked with them, they were hiding in eternity because they were so ashamed of being an Adam and Eve. They didn't want to talk about who they were. They didn't want to talk about their names because they had this horrible reputation. I have to say personally, in that moment that they were telling the story, I shamed myself. Not intentionally, but I'm sure I've made stupid remarks in the past or laughed at a joke that involved Adam or Eve. And I had no idea. And out of my ignorance and lack of perspective, in that moment, I was extremely shamed. The great news is that since Suplanter prayed for them and since Suplanter had his conversation with them, they now use their infamy to serve those in eternity. Because it doesn't matter what religion you are or probably where you were born anywhere on this earth. Most people have heard of Adam and Eve, so where it used to be very shameful for them to be known as Adam and Eve, they're using that now. Because they're in a better place and they have a better perspective and they understand that they're encouraged now that they use their story to minister to the souls in eternity. And that was extremely humbling to me to see that this couple, the very first man and woman ever, are now using their disgrace to minister and to help and to heal those in eternity. And then Adam had a conversation with Suplanter, and he said, Suplanter, I need to tell you that I know your heartache. And that when he was created, again, in Genesis, it looks like, you know, God just created them and then created all the animals. And then Adam was alone for thousands of years. And it's actually, look in Genesis, millions of years. Again, I couldn't even put my brain around the time, because time didn't start until they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. So Adam was so lonely, and he had this major hole in his heart, this longing in his heart for companionship. And even if you read the Old Testament, you see where God even had compassion of Adam's loneliness. So God created the animals as a companion for Adam. But that wasn't enough. And he had to wait, again, even after the animals were created for him. He had to wait a very, very long time until God saw himself and had pity that the animals weren't enough companionship. And then he created Eve from Adam's rib. And to hear, I can honestly say as a friend of Suplanter's and as a co-teammate, that as much as I've always wanted to appreciate or other people have tried to appreciate his situation, there's no way that someone can, because Adam explained the isolation and the solitude of not only not having that person in your life, that human being. And Adam even said, you know, a lot of people are going to look at you, Suplanter, and say, well, gosh, you walk and talk with God, you walk and talk with Jesus, And Adam reminded Jim, I walked and talked with God as well. And no one understands. Well, wasn't that enough? It's not the same thing as having your helpmate in life, a human being. And so Adam told Uplander that he himself talks to God, prays to God, and tries to negotiate with God on Uplander's behalf about this moment of his dream. And I have to say, for me, in that shot, where it was not only such an honor to meet Adam and Eve, it was a lesson for me in perspective. Because, again, I'm confessing right now, I know for sure, though I can't think of the specifics, but I know for sure I myself used to make fun of them in some way or another. I know when I was a young girl in Sunday school, I could never understand, being a quick-witted, intelligent little Sunday school pupil, how someone could be so stupid that a snake would be like, hey, you sure God said that? And you would act on it. And I'm absolutely humbled, given this new perspective, to be told the truth of what happened. So I'm excited to share that with you. Then the fifth chakra, while we were in there, all of a sudden, in front of Uplander in this great room, in this ginormous area, all these little children and babies, like, I couldn't even see the end of the babies and the children that were there. And Jesus was there talking to each one of them, and I was confused at first, like, what's going on here? I thought, well, maybe these are children in the departed, maybe these are children, and I just waited, and Jesus himself explained that these children here are the unborn children. These children here are the children of the people on this earth now, that we don't have to worry about what are people going to say or do or think about when this all comes out, because Jesus himself is teaching the unborn children that aren't even born yet about Uplander, about this team, about the future plan. And nothing, anyone who is a parent on this team can admit to you, nothing can change a parent's heart than seeing the truth come from their own children. And so I was extremely comforted and humbled to witness the fact that Jesus himself is already talking to these future children that haven't even been born yet, that are going to be part of a generation of change. So now that was enough of a roller coaster of emotion for me, we get to the sixth chakra, otherwise known as the crown chakra, and I'm really excited now because the Wrath Brigade is behind us and really excited about the next presentation of beings, and everything changes, and it turns into complete darkness. And these two ginormous bouncer angels, I have to refer to them as, are dragging a demon in shackles. I had to stop and say, well, what is he doing here? I don't understand. What's he doing here? And ironically, my brilliant stunt in front of Uplander at the time, and she's got all of her stuff drawn and ready to go, and I'm like, why is this happening? This doesn't make sense to anything. And the demon started talking to me, but I couldn't understand it. And so Uplander had to explain to me that this demon had been inside Jim. Was it that you couldn't see the future, Uplander? I didn't get to hear him. I couldn't understand him. What is it again that he had to say to you?
He was in the center of my mind, and Satan put him there to confuse me about things that were going to come.
Can I ask a question? It's Lori. Heidi said it was a sixth chakra, sixth chakra, but she called it the crown. It was a third eye, no?
Yeah, center of the mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I misspoke. Yeah, center of the mind. I apologize.
No apology. No apology necessary. It just confused me. I'm going to mute again.
No, it's okay. Well, you can imagine my surprise. I mean, out of all places where most people meditate the most, I did not expect in the, center of Uplander's mind. I mean, this was kind of our safety zone. I was actually really excited. Thought I'd be in this log cabin watching the snowfall, which was my experience in the last healing, to see this disgusting, writhing, spitting, horrible thing. And they were dragging him up and So Brilliance jumps in front of him with all of her on guard, ready to go. And me, as Heidi, was like, why is this happening? Like, this is, I don't want to say I was ready to quit, but I put my hands down and said, why is he here? I don't understand. And Subway just said, just listen to what he has to say. And he was saying something, but I couldn't understand anything. So Subplanter, like you just explained, that's what the thing was saying. And I didn't know what to do next because I couldn't, I was honestly paralyzed in surprise in the sense of like continuing the healing. Though my spirit, Brilliance, was ready to take the thing head off, I didn't know what to do.
Hey, Brilliance, can I step in for a second?
Please.
So the demon looks up at both of us, and he says, I have been in your mind for a very long time, and you did not know I was here. He said, but the other day, which would have been Wednesday, when I went and see my family in heaven, I walked up to Jesus, and I gave him a big hug, and I broke down crying because it had been a very difficult week. And he squeezed me really hard and said, just let go. I have you. And the demon said, when you hugged your big brother that day, he bound me. And you cannot destroy me. Brilliance has to destroy me. Back in your court.
So that was my very first encounter with a much higher level demon. The evil that was coming off this thing, if it wasn't for the fact that it had two arms, I would have thought that it was Satan. And I was given permission to kill the thing. And I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to cut his head off. But Brilliance went into, like, hi-ya karate crazy mode and clogged it, sliced it, cut its head off, and went crazy on it, and it was gone. That was an experience for me as well because, again, someone who doesn't see as much as some of the other individuals as far as the gift of sight and a peacemaker by nature that even with my own self and trying to manage the demons and spirits that come and talk to me, I try to use my own free will and not having to pause or kill them because I know I never want to get lazy with my free will and my choices. That was quite an experience for me. And that changed me and how I feel about who I am. Quite frankly, I'm sure, I know I've talked to a lot of you on the team about this, but it's one thing knowing who you are. It's another thing knowing really what that means. And it's kind of the same journey that Subplanter is going on. And you try to accept what it is that God had created and intended for you. You're told that you're Brilliance, that you're Subplanter, that you're Trisis, Firelight, Lightstar, Lightstarter, Blazar, and so on. That Firelight, that Starfire, that you're like, okay, I'm Starburst, but what does that actually mean? And on this journey that I'm going on, that one moment pushed me over the 50-50, half Heidi, half Brilliance, and now much farther along on the Brilliance, because in that moment, I was asked to use the powers or the talents, the gifts, the authority that God has allowed me to have, and it changed me. And P.S., I'm sorry for all those that you do have the gift of sight because I can't imagine having seen that kind of stuff since I was a child. And then we entered the seventh chakra, and God himself is there. And he was very kind and very loving. And he told us both how much he loves us. He didn't even ask me. He told me that he would take care of bringing back all the energy. He told me that I, too, would be healed during this healing. And gave us peace, strength, and love to continue on in forging through his plan. And Subway, so you heard a lot more than I did, because I know there was some discussion that he was giving to you while I was just kind of standing here, and I couldn't hear it, because I don't know if there's other stuff you want to share. That's the part that I can hear.
Okay. He said, you're going to have your conference call on Sunday, and I would like Brilliance to share with everybody what she's seen in your healing. And the reason that I want her to do that is because your team's main focus now is to help as many humans as you can to avoid the wrath of the brigade, or to avoid the brigade, the wrath brigade. He said, so I need you to go over with her, tell her to write some notes, outline these things, and through this process, your team will receive extra strength. They'll receive a little more clarity as to what it is that you're all going to be doing. And that's why she was in the position she was in today. There is a term this father has termed Trisis, myself, and Brilliance, and he has termed us the trifecta.
The trifecta.
What's that? I don't know yet exactly what our purpose is, but he said, your team already knows that when they can't get a hold of you, that Heidi, or Brilliance, is the one that they contact, and because your brother is sick currently, they don't bother him. But in time, your brother will become your number one general, and Brilliance will become the number two general, because your team is already comfortable with them, and deep in their hearts, they already know that this is okay. He said, well, on Sunday, please share with the team that the three of you are part of the trifecta. And he said, in time, I will define to all of you what that means and the roles that you will play. So there you go. Everybody's aware now. Does anybody have any questions or anything you'd like to share with the team? Dead silence.
Thank you to Heidi, because I'm sure it took a lot of courage, and then for you to have to relive it again, we're all very grateful for that, for sharing it with us. So thank you.
Yes.
Well, and if anyone has any questions specifically, I mean, any time during the week, I got a lot of windshield time this week, and we can talk about it.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Late Starter, and I just want to benchmark this. I've only just started the sweating thing, the waking up in the middle of the night sweating thing this past week, these last 2 weeks, benchmarking to find out if I'm the last person on the team to be experiencing this.
Anybody else?
Oh, it continues.
It continues. It doesn't stop.
No.
I've yet to visualize the... I can't say that I haven't visualized... I'm not sure I'm so clear on the sword and the shield and knowing exactly what my armor is.
Okay.
But you've gone into your practice training room?
I am not conscious of that, but I will tell you that the sleep has been disturbed. I wake up, sometimes I'm jolted awake as though somebody's kicked me in the stomach. And I feel that actually. And as I'm lying there just beginning to wake up, it'll happen again. And it's just like, I actually make the movement as though somebody's kicking me in the stomach. And there's a whole lot of sweating. And, I've been experiencing that, but I can't say consciously if I am aware of the training room. I mean, when I go into meditation, I ask our Holy Father to please show me the way and what I need to know. And I leave it at that, because I
feel... Well, when you meditate and you go into your house, you know how you have, like, your library...
Right.
And then there should be another door that leads you into your practice training room. Have you been in that room?
No.
Okay, because that's where you're going to find your armor. You're going to find that door, you're going to open it up, and your armor is going to be in that room.
Oh, so perhaps I wouldn't feel as though I was being kicked in the stomach if I had opened the door and retrieved my armor before attending my training session. Leave it to the Jew to show up without her armor. Here I am. I'm going to take you on in my skin.
You know, Lightstarter, I'll tell you, I had such disrupted sleep for the time that I was working with Michael that before I went to bed, and I even said, I mean, no disrespect to Michael. However, I'm going to call on Samuel tonight. He's the Archangel of Compassion. And I can say that after I purposefully invited another Archangel into my sleep or into my space, my meditative space before going to sleep, that I was given a gentle reprieve. However, like Tritus and Firelight and everyone else is saying, you get a reprieve, but your training will be ongoing.
Yep. I mean, let me put it this way. If you're not sleeping, you can ask for a break.
Well, I wouldn't say, yeah, right, because you can't continue to walk through the days. And I can tell you this, that the reprieve for me has been, and I've been working this through, and because I'm in trauma therapy, and the reprieve for me has been in the higher self dreams that I have, and they're very, very lucid. And some of them are more, you know, physical than others. But in the dreams, sometimes I'll wake up in a state of bliss that I walk around with a look on my face like I've robbed a bank all day. And in the beginning, I felt a little guilty about this state of bliss because it seemed to be connected to the dream, and I felt a little guilty that the dream, my dream life, that my unconscious state was fulfilling me to a deeper degree than my living state, my living with a man that I love and being in having a family and all the rest of that. So I felt this sort of guilt about this bliss state that was caused by, or that was brought to me through this more unintentional state of mind. And I've been working that through in therapy, and I mean, I've come to really, really look forward to going to sleep at night, whether or not I wake up in a sweaty mess and like somebody's kicking me in the stomach, or I wake up in this blissful state. It always serves me, and it's been extraordinary. And I've tried to explain it to, you know, non-team members and anybody, even my therapist. She kind of gets it. But I find a real shift in my total energy as I accept it as just all part of the life that I'm living, whoever it is that I am. It's all part of it. And embracing that, the bliss and the other feeling, which is not blissful, but it's not fear either. It's not fear-based. It's just unpleasant and sweaty and work, you know, it's work. So it's extraordinary. But it would have been good to have armor on, huh?
So when you go to bed tonight, you know, go into your house and go look for that door and find that room. And you'll find it's all set up in there. It's really awesome, you know.
And there's a mirror. And there might be a mirror there so you can see what it looks like.
Okay. All right. It makes me laugh that I missed that point. It's like, oh, I must have been, you know, out that day.
No, everything happens in its time for each one of us, you know. So you needed to have all this conversation with us, you know.
Right, right.
And Lori, I learned so much. I think one of my favorite things about talking to, you know, you and my teammates is that in our conversations, whether I appreciate it or not, I'm being prepared for what's to come, or I'm being reminded of certain things. You know, I remember that Lindy and Stacy had shared with me one time how they ground their house and their yard, and they rosebushed their yard and their block and stuff. Okay, my uncreative mind, I never thought about stuff like that. I know, after hearing Fluff Lancer and Firelight talk about how Satan himself showed up in their space, clothed as Jesus, that anything that comes into my house or in my chakras or in my meditative state that I've never seen before, I'm automatically clogging it. I figure if it's from God, they'll enjoy the extra power of God, and if it's not, I'm at least prepared. So don't think that we're the last one of anything. We're all a work in progress.
There are no special need healers on my team.
Because if there is, then I already got that. I already got that spot. I got the done chat on.
I don't know. I don't know what I was facing down in my skin. I mean, that really feels very low IQ to me.
No, it just shows how tough you are.
Right, right, right. It shows my ego is what it shows. It shows my ego.
Yeah, I'll use a term that my dad used to say, because he said, that's a mighty tough broad. And I looked at him and I went, oh, yeah, you can't say that anymore. That's a negative term. And he went, back in my day, that meant she was tough. You talk a lady, she's a tough broad. So you're a tough broad, right?
I'm a tough broad.
Well, and now you'll once you find your armor, you'll never forget to put it on every single day. See, God
right,
has,
right.
When I find myself where God's showing me, like, putting his bright light in my eyeballs, it's something that I remember to do every day from then on.
Yeah, we learn by our mistakes, that's for sure. So Jim, I do have a question for you, and that is, you said that, you know, Satan is really gonna, put the screws to us, in our families, with our children, and our lives, with the people around us. Any specificity whatsoever? I mean, I'm dealing with a 14-year-old on a regular basis, and that sort of just generally feels like that. So I never quite know. You know, I'm always looking into his face, and just kind of with wonderment, with curiosity, with awareness, that sort of thing. But is there anything like we should special? We should be any new tools Satan is using to come at us with?
He's going to use our own family against us, which is nothing really new. But he uses them to pick fights with us over the most mundane thing. So I would say, if that happens in your situation, pause your family member right away.
Okay.
It'll also happen in your coworkers, your boss, people at church, you know, any sitting where there's some kind of a conflict that's coming up between you and the person, pause them. Don't even hesitate.
And I would say hog them with joy. Don't hog them like they're Satan or evil, because I have done it at work, and we've talked about how when something pushes, it pushes back against us. You got to hog them with kindness and hog them like you're helping them. Because I hogged a coworker, and they came at me like a freaking Brahma bull. You know, like you're going to hug them, I guess, would be the best way to say it.
I think what's helpful, too, is since we know that this is Satan and we know that he's going to be manipulating our families, that an extra dose of compassion to realize that their thoughts are not their own and that this is Satan trying to get to us and cause unrest, peace, and distraction, that perhaps just that knowledge of knowing that you could look at that individual in a different way because they're being used by Satan and react in a different way, you know, in a godly way, in a holy way, in the way that we were created. Because I have a sense that all these things that we're going through now is preparing us for the future, for the people that we run into, the things that people are going to say about us. And so if we can learn to manage these things in the safe environment of our family and friends and coworkers, I say safe because compared to what the future brings, this is a peaceful time. That will become experts in seeing these situations for what they are. Again, it's never the person. We're not fighting people. We're fighting spirits, demons, and principalities of evil.
That's right.
It's changed the way that I look at people because with the energy I run with, I used to pride myself and no one wants to get in the way of this energy. And now I challenge myself to treat situations differently so I don't see them as people anymore. I see them as the spirit or evil that's behind them that's trying to rob my peace, trying to change my day in a negative way. And it helps me anyways manage those situations in a more godly way.
Okay. I'm going to send an email to everybody. And I'm going to ask you what days work better for you for the conference call. if the Sunday is working good for everybody, if a Monday would work better, because I know that some of the teammates have small children, and I was thinking maybe an 8 o'clock at night or 8:15 at night would work. I don't know, because there's the hour change difference, especially with Canada. So I don't know if that's too late for you, Susan, but if you can email me back and let me know if a Saturday, a Sunday, or a Monday works for you, then we'll decide when I'll schedule the next conference call, okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Excellent. Well, I love all of you very much, and I appreciate you taking the time to call in today. You are always on my heart, and Father speaks with you all the time with me, and he's watching you very closely to make sure you guys are safe and your family is too, okay? We have nothing to worry about. He is with us.
Can I ask everybody if they would mind keeping Jonah in their prayers tonight? He's flying to Cuba. He's going on an educational trip, and we're excited, but I'm a little nervous. He'll be completely out of touch for about 9 days.
Yes, glad
to
remember.
Yes, thank you.
I'll select your angel to keep you safe, too.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. No problem. That's what you pay us for.
You know, giving him a cigar order would have been more appropriate than asking now. I mean, I'll let it slip this time. The next time anybody's going to Cuba, got to talk to Chris, okay?
He's so funny. He's nervous because his passport was done like 2.5 years ago, and it doesn't even look like him, you know, from 11 to 14.
Oh,
it's a different human being. And he's so worried they're going to stop him at the border. He hasn't come out of his room all day today. It's a glorious day, and he just keeps coming down with his passport saying, it says Illinois, and I don't look anything like this. Do you think they're going to stop me at the border? I said, well, if they do, then we'll come and get you, and then I'll get your cigars, okay?
Okay. He'll be fine.
I know he'll be fine. You guys know he'll be fine. But he doesn't 100% know. But, you know, it's part of growing up. He needs to, I think, grow into knowing he'll be fine. So, and he also needs to feel fear and curiosity and all those things. So I think it's a good thing for all of us.
Yes, it is.
So will you send us a recording? So I'd like to listen to this one more time, I think.
All right.
Excellent.
I will. Give me a couple of days. I'm going to actually clean it up, and I'll take out the first 10, 15 minutes. It doesn't matter. Okay?
Great. Well, thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. And Tranquility, we're praying for you in this upcoming weekend for you and your family as well.
Oh, thanks so much.
Indeed. Stacy, you are in my mind. Your health and Susan, you and Tom are on my mind. All of you are in my prayers all the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Both
ways.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. John, be well. Jerry, be well. Suffy, we love you.
Love you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 The leader has left the conference.